Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. We're in a good mood here today. The Vikings lost, and Paul Allen got to grovel in his own... He sucks. Washington won, so Toby's pumped. And our good buddy Ryan Horvath is joining the program. So what's not to like about that? All the way from Washington, D.C., or whatever suburb you live in, it is Ryan Horvath of BetMGM Tonight. Hey there, Horvy. How are you, buddy?
Yo, yo, yo. Well, actually, I live in Maryland.
Maryland. Wow. Do you have Maryland license plates and a driver's license yet?
We got Maryland license plates, but I don't have the driver's license yet. But I need to get it. My license is actually expired. I haven't had any time to go to the DMV. So I've been rolling with house money, just hoping that I don't get pulled over.
You're going to go to the DMV in the DMV? What an experience.
How about that? Yeah. Yeah. That's what I don't get. Toby, when everybody was like, are you from the DMV? Are you from the DMV? At first I was like, are they talking about the DMV? Because I hate the DMV. Who likes going to the DMV every trip? You're there for 45 minutes.
I mean, to be fair, some people still hate the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Yeah, why couldn't they call it like the MVD or the VDM?
DMV just rolls off the tongue.
Or the DCMV. That makes more sense.
What about DMB, Dave Matthews Band?
Yeah, what about DMD Britt Baker?
What a huge win for the Washington football team. Another weekend of best bets. Alabama winning outright. Who saw that coming? Myself. Cincinnati heading to the playoff. Who saw that coming? Myself. Houston not to score 21 team total points. That was a sweat. They scored 20. Myself. And then the Washington football team, Toby. What did we tell everybody? We were going to shock the world.
That's right. I need you to get on Quentin tonight. Because what was he saying? Raiders money line? Come on, dude. They were never winning that game. I understand it was close, but Washington was always going to win that game.
But that was the best thing that happened to you. I would want Quentin Benton on against my team. Like, I'm hoping that we can maybe get him to fade the Packers the rest of the season.
So are those because you do a show with Quentin Mayo and Trista Crick?
Yes.
But it seems like you're the only one who wins.
Doesn't it seem like in this entire country? I'm the only one. I'm just kidding.
I don't think we had a good week, though, on Friday.
They had some. I'm guessing we did. They probably had some winners this weekend. Well, Quentin had Alabama with me. There you go. Boom.
Yeah, Alabama, that game was interesting because once you saw it play out, and I'm so glad you're here because I do want to talk college football. Cincinnati getting in the playoffs is like, I told Toby, it was a top five moment of my 2021. I am so happy about it. I'm so happy. Thank God Oklahoma State lost. Otherwise, they'd probably get screwed. But I'm so happy about it. And then they're like, okay, all right, Power Five, you got in? Well, here's your chance. Face Alabama. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least it's this year where you're facing Alabama. But, right, it's probably not going to be pretty. But at least they get in. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, if you get into the college football playoff, you're going to have to face – a good team. It's probably better to face Alabama than Georgia, although I don't know. You know, Bama looked really, really good this weekend. I saw that coming. You know, you had the best quarterback in the country going against a secondary that hadn't really been tested all season long. And people are like, well, that's not going to matter. Well, it does matter, though. I mean, you know, I mean, who's the toughest opponent even that Georgia's faced all season? You could go back to the Clemson game, but Clemson was a disappointment this season, other than on the defensive side of the ball. So, huge win. I hope Cincinnati could just keep it close. It would be awesome. I mean, if you go back, though, like last year, granted, nobody cared for Georgia, but they played Georgia to a 24-21 game, you know, in the bowl game, and they lost by three. Now, Georgia wanted to be in the college football playoff and had dudes that sat that were going to the NFL, but still, you know, I mean, I think that they could maybe hang around for at least a half.
Doesn't that Clemson-Georgia thing make it seem like preseason polls are useless, though? Because, you know, they're talking about that Georgia team, and they're like, all right, they've had some impressive wins against, you know, ranked Clemson. I was like, sure, they were ranked, but we all realize they sucked. Like, they're not, that win shouldn't really count for anything.
Right, dude, and not only do, like, the preseason rankings not count, also, like, look at the individual awards. I think that, like, preseason rankings in college football used to matter a whole lot because, I mean, it's kind of like college hoops, right? Like, where we knew who the good teams were going to be every single year because there were so many four-year players. You know, most guys at least stayed until their senior season. Now with college football, you have the transfer portal, and then, you know, like, you have a bunch of kids coming in and out all the time. But still, look at the individual award rankings, too. The two Heisman favorites this year, Spencer Rattler and JT Daniels. Neither were even the starting – or are either the starting quarterback for their teams right now. JT Daniels is on the sidelines, although he should probably have maybe been starting in that game because Stetson Bennett might be the reason that they lost that game. And then Spencer Rattler just entered the transfer portal. We thought he was going to be the number one overall pick in the draft. So, yeah, I do think that the preseason rankings are usually kind of BS. You know, even like every year, too, it's, well, Alabama lost Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, you know, dudes that could have and did win the Heisman last year, and they still just replace them with five stars. But it takes some time for these guys to, like, figure some stuff out. So, yeah, I think it's mostly BS.
With the early lines, is there anything that, like, looks attractive? Because Alabama's 13.5-point favorites I have here over Cincy, Michigan 8 points favorite over Georgia. I mean, you could take Alabama to win it all. I don't know if there's a lot of value in that, but is there anything you like right away?
I played Georgia, actually, as they're 7.5-point favorites over Michigan, and I think Georgia is going to be in a huge bounce-back spot. I had Michigan in the Big Ten title game. Nice season for them, but going against an SEC opponent, I think it might be a rough night for Jim Harbaugh, so I'm going to take Georgia. I don't think Michigan's going to be able to do a whole lot offensively against that Georgia defense like Alabama was able to do. So I'm going to take Georgia. I actually took Georgia right away, -7.5. I might take Cincinnati to cover the 13.5, right? Doesn't that line seem like maybe they do keep it close against Alabama? I'm hoping that it goes to 14,
Cincinnati,
which I think
is
it
good.
Has.
Cincinnati, from somebody who's watched way too much Bearcats football, Cincinnati is good. But the problem is, a guy like Bryce Young is the exact kind of problem for them. A guy that can run.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that they could keep it close, though, because I think that line's telling you that they can keep it close, because I was expecting Alabama in any other year, man, they're a 17-point favorite. You know what I mean? So I'm probably going to take a stab with them. That's more like a personal play just because I do want them to keep it close. But I love Georgia -7.5. And then a couple other ones that I played right away, like with these other bowl games. I played Iowa State immediately, +1.5 against Clemson. That's a stinky line where Clemson wasn't very good this year. And I feel like nobody's going to play in that game. You know, the dudes that they do have probably going to be focused on heading to the NFL. I played Auburn, 3-point favorites against Houston. Solid season for Houston, but you saw it, like, yeah, I mean, that's what I said going against Cincinnati. They're not going to be able to throw the ball. And they did for a short period of time, but then in the second half, they didn't even get in the end zone. I think Auburn, even if Bo Nix doesn't play in that game, I think Auburn's going to beat up on Houston. So those are the ones that I played right away. But I think my favorite is Georgia over Alabama. And I'm not calling it, Michigan to lose to Georgia. And I'm not calling Michigan overrated. Nice season for the Big Ten, but I think they lose that game by 2 scores.
So I'm really rooting for Jim Harbaugh.
Well, good luck.
I mean, I've never really liked Jim Harbaugh. I've never super disliked him. I didn't like him when he was at the Niners, but I just like that entire fan base, every single Michigan Wolverine fan at one point, probably within the last month, like when they lost to Michigan State, all they want to do ever is fire this guy. Yet he did exactly what you wanted him to do. He built the program back up to national prominence. He beat Ohio State. He got in a playoff. It just shows, Horvat, that sometimes patience really is a virtue.
This is true. But, I mean, also, they had some luck. Like, it was a down year in college football. And also, like, say this about Harbaugh, man. Like, because I always rag on the guy and call him the eighth best coach in the Big Ten. But still, I think what he did was pretty awesome. Like, coming out of a pandemic, he makes way too much money. So, you know, he took a pay cut and gave some back to the people that had, or I should say he took his money and gave it back to the people that had to take pay cuts coming out of the pandemic, like in the athletic department. So I thought that was a pretty cool move from Harbaugh. You know, everything that went down in like Oxford and them kind of like representing, like, I thought that was pretty cool. They even hung 42 points, which I thought was awesome. And, you know, same thing with the Detroit Lions. I thought that was a cool moment yesterday where Dan Campbell read off all the victims' names. And, you know, then there's the people on social media like, oh, you know, that helps, or this is theater and blah, blah, blah. Like, well, what do we want? What do we want? You know, what do we want? The football coach to save the world? You know, I thought it was a cool gesture. And coming out of all that nonsense last week, it's easy to root for Harbaugh right now, but I just think Georgia's going to beat up on him. I'm still shocked that Georgia lost as bad as they lost to Alabama. Like, don't you feel like now they're just going to be pissed off? And if
Alabama had a lot more to play for, because Georgia, the way college football's set up, hey, go ahead and lose your conference championship by 17 points. It don't matter for them. Already in.
Yeah, I'll say this though. Like, if you look at like the metrics, I mean, this could be a close game. Like, you know, you rooting for Harbaugh could pay off. Like, Pro Football Focus and college football has Georgia the number one tackling team. They have Michigan the number six tackling team. In coverage, they have Georgia number one, although that's probably changed after Bryce diced them up for, what, nearly 400 yards. Michigan is 15th. So, like, they're not too far off. It's just, like, some of the nerdy things. Like, Michigan's offense against Georgia's defense, that's what scares me. Like, if you look at, like, rushing success, Michigan's 16th, but they're going against a Georgia defense that's 5th. So, I don't know if they're going to be able to pop off in big plays, any big plays against Georgia. We'll see.
Ryan Horvat here. I'm Bart Winkler, Toby Altizer. This apparently is really Mike Tice. Mike Tice has a Twitter account. You remember Mike Tice?
Yeah.
Former Viking coach.
Yes.
This apparently really is him. He tweeted last night, "Really? Effing Detroit? Even my sorry ass never lost to Detroit." So that's interesting.
That can't really be him. Don't fall.
I'm doing research. It seems to be him.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm going to the search bar. Was that not the best moment of the football Sunday yesterday? Jared Goff finally gets his first victory that doesn't include Sean McVay. Did you see his girlfriend too? My Lord. Jared Goff's girlfriend is a swimsuit model. I want to say right now she's like doing a shoot for Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit edition. And she finds out on the beach that the Lions win their first game and just starts going crazy. Good for Jared Goff, man. Gets his first victory. Even though he's a disaster, he's a rich disaster with a supermodel girlfriend. And now, even if he retires like next week, you can never say that this man never won a game without Sean McVay. So the fact that it came against the Vikings too, where I told you like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was now, that was their Super Bowl. There was going to be some disappointing losses. And there is no way Mike Zimmer keeps his job after that. I would fire him today. And especially after, you know, they beat us and, you know, they were running their mouths, obviously, like usual, talking about how they were going to turn their season around and they were hoping that we would lose every game the rest of the way. What a beautiful Sunday to watch the Vikings, especially in that fashion. You know what I mean? Final play, a walk-off winner for the Lions. That was awesome to watch. They stink.
So most of the show today, we're talking about an NFL week that the Packers didn't play in, and we were kind of bouncing around a little bit, talking some Bucks, talking. We actually talked baseball for some dumb reason. That was my fault. I know.
Yeah. That's when you know I'm not in the area.
Well, because Toby and I were at the clubhouse sale. They had a clubhouse sale, and we went, and they're selling Jackie Bradley Jr. jerseys for still like $400.
Wait, what? No way. Why?
Yeah, I don't know, because they're like, oh, crap, we better try to sell these as soon as we can. People probably don't – they probably didn't hear about the trade. They'll still think they're getting a good deal.
Oh, yeah. No, they're deep into Packers season. You know, Grandma and Peepaw head over to the – you know, they're doing jersey shopping for Christmas. That's a ripoff, though. I can't believe that. Those – and especially Jackie Bradley Jr., you know what I mean? Like,
but they're, like, authentic. They're, like – I think they're the jerseys that he was going to wear in spring training. And they're
Yeah,
like,
but it's not like – you know what I mean? It's not even like Vogelback is gone. You know what I mean? And it's like this cult hero, like JBJ. Like, I'm sorry. I would do $10 tops, even if he was coming back.
You know how bad JBJ was? Whenever anyone talks about him, they preface it by saying, I mean, I know he's a nice guy, but...
Right, exactly.
I know he's a nice guy.
Exactly. That's how I treat, like, half of, like, the Packers' middle linebackers and backup quarterbacks.
I'm sure
Jake
Ryan's
decade.
A nice guy, but...
Yeah, I'm sure. Exactly. I'm sure. Exactly. I'm sure Brad Jones was a hell of a dude, but Jesus, did he get lost in coverage and not know how to tackle? I'm sure Brett Hundley's a tremendous person, but he may be the worst quarterback in the NFL I've ever seen that had the opportunity to start. Well, you had plenty to talk about today, though, because I mean, tonight, Monday Night Football. This is the best Monday Night Football game we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, it's so good. I might not even watch the Manning cast tonight. I know that you guys are, but that crew's so terrible. I know you guys are on while games happen, but yeah, I think it's a good test to see if this New England team is what we think they can be. And then Buffalo, they're just not having the year that you thought they would have. They were blowing out and shutting out teams that are no good, and now they're kind of skidding a little bit.
You know, I feel like, okay, so everybody likes the Patriots tonight, and I did play the Patriots a couple weeks back to win the division. It's still sitting there at 3. Buffalo's 3-point favorites tonight. It may be 2.5. I would assume.
It's in Buffalo, right?
Yeah, it's in Buffalo, too. So, Wendy and
I think Buffalo. I think I'm taking Buffalo.
Yeah, so, okay, that's what I wanted to talk about here really quickly, because it's going to be a huge game. If New England wins, good for me, because like I called them to win the division like weeks ago, and I also played it. Like I played it at a ridiculous price, 25-1, 35-1 on the Super Bowl, like just a little stab. So if New England wins tonight, that's huge. But they still see each other one more time. But still, that's a big one. If New England's able to win this game in Buffalo, you would expect them to win in Foxborough too. I mean, not that home field advantage is like that important in the NFL. But if they steal this one on the road, that's huge, especially with a rookie quarterback. But here's the thing, man. Like, you got a rookie quarterback playing in what's most likely going to be windy conditions. I haven't even looked at the weather report today because I'm not going to lie. I just woke up. But still, you got Mac Jones thrown into the wind in Buffalo. But here's the thing. The Patriots can actually run the football. Buffalo cannot run the football. Their leading rusher is Josh Allen. On quarterback designs. For some reason, you know, are they going to use Zach Moss? I would use Devin Singletary a little bit more throughout the season. They for some reason, like, never want to run the ball, which I don't get, especially when you're going to be the number one team in the AFC and you figure you're going to have home field advantage. You're going to be playing most of these games in Buffalo with Josh Allen, even though he has a cannon for an arm, thrown into the wind. So they needed to develop some sort of running game. That's why I kind of lean New England to keep it close. I played them when it opened up, +3.5. And then this morning, I took the Bills on the money line, -142. The Bills, a couple weeks ago, like we were talking about them, they were the best team in the league. Their point differential was ridiculous. It was +145, number one in the league. They're the number one defense in the league, DVOA. Offensively, they were number one. But like they sometimes play down to their competition, you know, kind of like Green Bay has done in the past. But like they lose to the Jags 9-6. But then, like, when there's the big games they need to get up for this season, like the Chiefs, we kept saying, like, oh, we can't believe in the Bills until they beat Mahomes. Well, they blew out Mahomes. And that was when Mahomes wasn't great, though. Like, the Chiefs were a bad version of themselves. Now, they're really good, especially defensively. But I feel like this is the game, don't you, where the Bills now have been listening all week about how, even though they're favored, everybody likes the Patriots to win this game. And everybody's talking about, I mean, we wake up this morning, man, and the Patriots are the number one team in the AFC. They have the best record in the entire AFC. Everybody's talking about Belichick and Mac Jones for rookie of the year. don't you think like Josh Allen, who was the MVP leading candidate just until last week or 2 weeks ago, and that coaching staff and all those guys, Stephon Diggs, that they're going to come out tonight, especially at home, and want to put on a show on primetime in a standalone game? So I know New England's defense also look like New England has a great defense, right? But that's not your regular Patriots defense. And if you look at the competition they played, they haven't really seen anybody like Buffalo fully healthy like this and coming off of like a full week to prepare. So I'm with you. I think New England's going to cover the 3.5, and I think this is going to be a field goal game. I know that's almost like betting too much, but this morning, the more I thought about it, I played Buffalo because I think that they're going to go out there to prove a point. And I feel like you and I are probably going to be the only people on Buffalo, because everybody likes the Patriots. Also lean the under. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. My only concern, again, Buffalo just can't run the ball.
Well, I think the problem with the Patriots is now that they're, like, decent again, I think people are assuming that Mac Jones is Tom Brady. If this was Tom Brady and the Patriots.
You keep hearing that, yeah.
If this was Tom Brady and the Patriots, yeah, okay, I'm going to take Tom Brady. This is Mac Jones and the Patriots.
Right, exactly. But, dude,
I know he's played well, and, you know, I shouldn't be taking anything away from Mac Jones, and I'm saying he's not Tom Brady. But I think that's how people are viewing the Patriots right now. They're like, oh, look at the Patriots right back on top. It's not Tom Brady, though.
Right, right. And so, check this out, though. So, like, actually, as crazy as this sounds, man, the Patriots offensively, I feel like, especially right now, better than they've been in years. Because the last year that Brady was in New England, that year stunk. Like, he wanted out. He didn't have anybody. Everybody was hurt. They couldn't move the ball. But this offense can, like, beat teams in shootouts. You know what I mean? Like, the Patriots DVO rank 11th in the league. And that's after a couple really bad starts to the season for Mac Jones. You know what I mean? But they're going against the Bills defense tonight that's number one. My whole point about New England is, yeah, they're rolling right now. In fact, if you look at their last six games, they've outscored their opponents 211-63, but we're hyping up a defense for giving up 63 points over the last six games. And let's look at the competition. The Jets, they stink. The Chargers, who at the time did not want to throw the ball down the field, especially against that Patriots defense. Then they beat the Panthers with Sam Darnold. They beat the Browns with Baker Mayfield, who shouldn't have even been on the field. They beat Atlanta without Calvin Ridley. So all they had to do was take the tight end out of the equation, and that's what they did with Kyle Pitts. And then they beat the Titans without Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, and A.J. Brown. So from a DVOA perspective, they have not yet beat a top 13 opponent. They're actually 0-3 against top 13 opponents. Also, like, they've had a lot of good luck. The turnover department, they lead the league, plus 13 in turnovers. So that's the thing, you know, I want to see them beat a real team. Jets, Chargers, Panthers with Darnold, Browns, Falcons, and Titans without the entire offensive unit. So let's see if the Patriots are for real tonight.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ryan Horvath again, 414-799-1250. If you want to play along, I got it. Why is Trevor Lawrence so bad? Is that just because he's in Jacksonville? I feel like he's not.
No.
Just another guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's that bad. I think he's actually going to be really good. He made a couple throws even yesterday where I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be good. The problem with Trevor Lawrence is like every other young and rookie quarterback, you know, like we saw with Jordan Love, even when he's under pressure, you know, that's not when he's at its best. That's when he's like thrown off his back foot and making terrible decisions. But when he has a clean pocket or even when he's on the run, he looks pretty good. The problem with for him is Urban Meyer is a disaster. Urban Meyer needs to get back into the booth because this is an embarrassment. I didn't think Urban Meyer's offense could work if he went back to the college game. His offense definitely doesn't work in the NFL. I mean, it's terrible, man. It's like playing your little brother in Madden. Run up HV dive, right? Tight end pass across the middle. It's like you know exactly what's coming. And unfortunately, this isn't Madden. So defenses could read that, especially with a young quarterback. They're blitzing the hell out of them. And that is a bad football team. I said that out loud yesterday because I actually bet on them very small. I said, this is the worst football team I've ever seen in my life because, like, they have the talent. But and it's like, you know, the Texans are bad. But the Texans are supposed to be bad. It's a bunch of, like, veteran players who a couple of them were trying to get one last deal. A couple of them are just playing out that last deal, and then they're going to retire. You know what I mean? It's like Rex Burkhead carrying the ball. What's the Jags' excuse? You know? I mean, yeah, you're young, but you got a bunch of talented guys. If they had a half-decent coach there, like anybody other than Urban Meyer. I bet you if Matt LaFleur was coaching the Jags, they'd probably be a 5-6 win team.
So Urban sucks?
Oh, Urban's the worst. I mean this. He is the worst NFL head coach in the history. I mean, look, not only because of what goes on the field, they shouldn't even have a victory, man. Like that London victory was BS. But also, and they should never beat the Bills. I keep forgetting about that one. 9-6. What a bummer.
Urban, I mean, I don't like to be body demeanor police, but Urban looks like he's doing this against his will.
Well, that's what I mean. And like, so that's the energy that like your team's trying to feed off. That's the difference between him and Matt LaFleur, who's like pretty much like hugging and headbutting his guys out there. Urban Meyer is a joke to his team. Like we read the reports, man. Like after, I mean, we all know what went down where he hung back after instead of getting on the team flight and was at the bar dancing with the young ladies, we'll say. And then after he apologizes to the team, half-assed, walks out after 20 minutes, and everybody just cracks up and starts laughing. Like he's a joke. His team, also, these are grown men. You know what I mean? Like Urban could have control over college kids, the 18, 19-year-olds that he recruits, because what's their other option? These are like grown men, though, pros making millions of dollars. You think they want to listen to Urban Meyer? They think he's a joke. They got to get somebody else in there.
Oh, you want to talk about? No, you want to talk about
fast before they ruin Trevor Lawrence? What?
You want to talk about walking out on people? I've been obsessed with Brian Kelly. I mean, you take the money, that's fine, but then he comes back for a 2-minute meeting, and then he goes down to LSU and fakes an accent. Yeah.
Have I not been on since this happened?
No, well, we haven't talked about Brian Kelly.
Yeah. Oh man, was that not
me and my family?
Yeah, was that not the greatest thing
what
you've
is
ever
he doing?
Seen? I went from thinking that I was gonna miss Brian Kelly to being like, good riddance, man. Especially with the Marcus Freeman hire, because I absolutely love him. Like those viral videos have been awesome when they announce him as their head coach. Their strength trainer does, or Tommy Reese saying that he's not going anywhere. I was getting like the Wolf of Wall Street vibes. But then Brian Kelly, oh my God. And I know that I had a good position where I was, but this is something that me and my family are going to do. Oh man. I loved, like, I usually like, You know, usually like one guy gets to it, though, like two or three people get to the joke, and then it's like, all right, this is getting old. You know what I mean? Like when something goes viral, the Brian Kelly videos to me and the jokes have not got old. Like people were like, imagine if Brian Kelly got the job in Miami and it's like Scarface, like, okay, you need people like me. And like, yeah. I thought, or like one of them was like, he gets the job at USC and it's like, whoa, bro. I thought those were actually really good because that's a grown man. That is a man in his 50s that is pretending that he just picked up a Southern accent within the last 48 hours. So good riddance by Brian
Kelly. When Madonna went to England for a week and came back British.
Yeah, exactly. No, it reminds you of like, it was like growing up. Like I told this story about my buddy. We went and saw the movie The Town together. And then like I went to pick him up the next day to go to school. And he comes out and he has like this chain out. And he has this Adidas like starter jacket like with the pants and a toothpick hanging out of his mouth. And I'm like, dude, go back in the house and change. What are you doing? And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, no. Like, just because we saw the movie The Town, because he talked about it like the whole drive home. He was like, dude, Affleck was so cool in that movie. But Renner, man, he was tough, man. Go get the car. And then he, like, this kid, literally, his name's John, thought he was in from Boston. And I think, like, it still goes on. Like, he's, ever since this movie, he still wears, like, those zip-ups, and he's got, like, the chest hair, and he's a talent. Anyway, that's kind of what that reminded me of. Like, Brian, come on, man. Did you forget who you are? So I hope that they stink. The funniest part about it, man, is I go on the radio station in Louisiana every Friday. I'm sorry, every Thursday now to do my football picks with Mike Dettillier.
Yeah, friend of the show.
And so I just told him, I was like, hey, you guys stole my head coach, and I wish nothing but the worst for your football program. And they were just like, they got a kick out of it. Because usually I go on there, and I've always kind of been like a – not an LSU fan, but I've always admired the program. Like, I liked Coach O until I found out he's a terrible human being. I love that Joe Burrow team. Joe Burrow is my favorite quarterback in the league, not named Aaron Rodgers, and it's not even close. I know he kind of stunk it up yesterday, but he plays hurt every single week. Yesterday, it was his pinky. They need to do something to protect him, or he's going to be the next Andrew Luck. He could be the next Tom Brady, or he could be the next Andrew Luck, but they got to protect him. But I'll never root for LSU again, man. Brian Kelly is a scumbag. And, like, I know most of these guys are. They're all out for themselves, like Lincoln Riley. But what Brian Kelly did, I feel like what Brian Kelly did was a lot different than what a lot of these coaches did.
I mean, I know he left his team, but if you get this one crack at life and you can go from making $3 million a year to 15, it's hard not to just do it.
Yeah, I know. I'll never fault anybody for getting the bag, you know, especially that kind of money. But I have a problem when – like 8 days prior, you're like, I would never leave. I would need $550 million. Like, I get it. We all say stuff, but I don't know. Just the way I have no problem with Brian Kelly leaving. Like, I always thought if he left, it would be for the NFL. I have no problem with him taking a job in the SEC. I just wish that he would have did it in a better manner. Like, and again, I mean, you know, he goes, he addresses the team. He says any questions. Nobody has any questions. He leaves. He doesn't really need to say anything else. It's just, you know, if that's the team you root for, it's hard to root for that guy. Like, yeah, good. He went and got the bag. He went and got the money. But now I just kind of root for him to fail. And I think he's a jerk. And but the problem with him too, man, like he's done this. Okay, so he's done this at every stop. This is how he's left. And also, he didn't even tell, like, here's my problem. He didn't tell his staff and he didn't tell the guys that were recruiting. Like, people were tweeting out, like, people were finding out that he took the LSU job, these recruiters, while they were in the homes of the kids that they're trying to recruit to Notre Dame by talking about Brian Kelly's program.
Yeah.
And, like, they were tweeting this out, like, oh, man, I just got in my car, left a recruit's house. I feel like – one guy put it, I feel like an effing a-hole. You know what I mean? Because he just got done, like, hey, you got to come here. Brian Kelly wants you. Brian Kelly wants you. Then the guy leaves. The kid turns on the TV. Brian Kelly leaving for LSU. So that guy just wasted like 3 hours in a meal, and he probably could have been like with his family. It's the holiday season. So that's my problem with Brian Kelly. Also, like, let's not forget about the stuff Brian Kelly's done in the past, including the kid that he left up there too long. So terrible human being. Marcus Freeman, one of the greats, only 35 years old, family man. God bless him. He's young, he's the same age as me, and he has like seven kids. I have one, and God bless him. I love him. But man, seven of him running around.
Are you one and done for sure, or are you not yet?
No, I want another one, but it's just like now he's like 8 years old, so we don't know. It's Who knows?
Yeah,
wherever the Lord takes us.
Yeah, wherever JC wants to go.
Yeah, JC Collins.
Yeah, JC Chavez. You know what the best about Brian Kelly having that accent. So obviously Brian Kelly, Notre Dame coach, goes to LSU, gives a speech at a basketball game, and he starts talking in the southern accent. So I wonder at what moment, this is always what fascinates me, what moment did he think, I'm going to start to do a southern accent? Because
I know
it was a conscious decision for him to say family, because he says family. He's from the Midwest. Family. So at what moment, maybe he was just getting out. I don't know. Was it on the car ride over? Was it when he was leaving Notre Dame? Was he just out there on that court and saying, you know what, just go for it, Brian. These are good people right here, I reckon. Just go for it right now and say family. I mean, what is he doing?
See, you know what's funny is, like, I made buddies and I, like, would make friends. And especially, like, when you go away to college or, like, you hang out with people, like, that are friends of your friends in college. And, like, you know, and you've seen it where I've had buddies that, like, were from, like, the South. And then, like, they moved to the Midwest, though. And after a couple of years, they just talk like everybody that's in the Midwest. But that's after years, right? But then I've had friends that, like, the drunker they get, like, if we go out to the bars and they start drinking, that's when their southern accent would, like, come out. You know what I mean? And they'd be, like, talking like that. But that makes sense because they're from there. You know what I mean? And if Brian Kelly, like, in 5 years was doing an interview, right? Well, he's been at LSU for 5 years, and they win the national title. He's up at that podium, and he's like, and we did it. And I'd like to thank my family. I wouldn't really think I would make fun of them, but
not after five years, but not 5 days.
No, yeah, not even 5 days. That's what I mean. Like, so exactly. He was probably on the car ride there, you know, or he was just talking with people all day, you know what I mean? And everybody's like, you know, we got to get him, Brian. We got to get him. And then all of a sudden, maybe he just, like, picked it up and just wanted to fit in. That's the problem with Brian Kelly. I feel like he just wants to fit in. He's a leader. I'm sorry. He's a follower, not a leader. A leader is Marcus Freeman, leader of young men, 35-year-old head coach of Notre Dame, father of seven, and a beautiful wife.
Yeah, if he was a leader, he'd go down there and say, I got to be real honest with you people. I don't understand a single word you're saying.
Exactly. He'd be like, oh, you know, he'd bump into somebody, he'd be like, oh, hey.
Yeah. Everybody
always talks about my accent, like Chicago. And that's a good point right there, though. I've moved how many times? I went from Iowa to Milwaukee, now in Washington, D.C., in Maryland, and I've been away from home now for like 12 or 13 years. I still talk like I talk from back home. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know. Toby, do people in D.C., well, nobody, the thing about D.C., nobody's actually from D.C. I've met like five people that are actually from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Everybody's just here for a government job or they're a lawyer. I met one scientist. I have not met one person other than Trista and Quentin and my producer, Cameron, who lives here not for government.
Yeah, I mean, there really aren't. There's no, like, D.C. accent or anything, if that's what you're saying. Like, there's no – you're right. It's a lot of people in D.C. are there from different regions, and I think that's what's frustrating at times, too. There are loyal fan bases in D.C., but you can walk around D.C., you're going to see so many different teams if you're just walking around looking for, you know, apparel and stuff. I know where I went to school, there were a lot of Steelers fans and stuff like that. So it's a weird place because so many people come to the same spot, and so many people are different fans and – from different areas. So no, there's really no like DC accent or all those things. Although we do have a lot of pride if we're around the area.
There you go. Well, yeah, you got it's just East Coast accents, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, some people will still have a little bit of a Southern if you're from Virginia, like from my area, that just like a hint of Southern, you know, y'alls and reckon occasionally. Some people will say that, but
it's a Midwest swing. Nah. Yeah, sorry.
But I feel like for the most part, the kicker for Washington, the kick the game winner, was from D.C., so everybody was excited about that. That's like the new thing with Washington is everybody that signs there is apparently from the DMV area, so everybody's excited about it. But, I mean, who cares?
Ah, nice. Did you guys see the point spread in the Packers game against the Chicago Bears, which is going to take place on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I saw that at 13.
We really need to enjoy Monday Night Football tonight between these two powerhouses because we get the Bears on primetime two straight times.
Oh, then they're on Monday Night Football?
Well, not like immediately after the Sunday, because that would be a first in NFL history. But then the following Monday, I believe they're on again.
They do that a lot. They put a team on Monday and then Sunday night. They do that all the time. I don't know why. The Rams just did.
Yeah. But the Bears are 13-point underdogs against the Green Bay Packers. Don't you feel like we almost, if you're a betting man, while Green Bay is going to win and we want them to beat up on the Bears, don't you feel like, especially with Andy Dalton, the starting quarterback, unless it is going to be Justin Fields, I think it's going to be Dalton. Wouldn't you think that the Bears could keep it closer in a rivalry game than 13 points? Or do you just bet the Packers to win by 20-plus points? Because 13, I thought it was going to be like, it's always around 7.5, 8, even when the Bears are bad, man. Like, this is usually a tough game. The year that the Packers were bad, right? Like McCarthy's last year. These were, for the most part, close games. Don't the Bears have any pride left?
Yeah, but how do you – I mean, do you see the Bears – like, how are they going to score 18 points?
The Bears, I don't know, are going to score 18 points. The Bears, it would have to be, like, a defensive battle, and I just don't know that the Bears defensively –
Absolutely not. Green Bay, right, then, yeah. Under the lights, prime time. You got Cobbie there. He's off for 2 touchdowns. As long as he's not hurt. I don't know.
I was going to say, are we confirmed that Cobbie's going to be playing? The last we saw, he didn't go back into that game.
No, we don't know anything. We never.
That's true. Hurt. We don't get it. And plus, they're coming off the bye. All we know that Aaron Rodgers did get permission to travel during the bye week to go get his foot looked at.
Yeah, what was that? I saw a tweet that said he's in L.A., that he got permission. I said, what is he, 2? Who cares?
Because he's not vaccinated.
So
I don't think you could like leave the, I don't know, man, the you got to look at the protocol list. It's like 500 pages long. I don't know what he could do and what he can't do. All I know is he could throw touchdowns. I just don't know that he could throw enough to make them cover the 13 point spread. I don't really know how the Bears would score. I mean, you would figure that they could probably average 3 to 4 yards per carry, maybe some play action. Mooney's all right. Cole Kmet's all right. Cause he went to Notre Dame. Dalton, if you look at the box score yesterday, man, I had money on the Bears yesterday, very, very small. I played the Cardinals, and then it got to a point where I was like, okay, I can see the Bears covering this number. The Bears should have actually – I'm not going to say the Bears should have won that game, but if you look at the box score –
Oh, Toby's all over this today.
It looks like the Bears beat Arizona yesterday. The Bears played a good game. They just couldn't get out of their own way in the red zone and stop turning the football over.
Yeah.
Dalton, how many –
You're just echoing Toby today.
In the red zone, Toby?
Toby's trying to claim all this, and I'm not even for it. But no, Toby's been all over it.
See, Toby, that's called doing your job right there. That right there is not laziness.
Yeah.
Toby, you deserve a raise, in my opinion. Yeah. Maybe even a bump to pregame
host. Toby, what you're doing
is
great
Toby,
for the station and this radio family.
I appreciate it, Horvath. It means a lot. Appreciate it, Southern Bart.
I just love to be here at the southern part of the Milwaukee area, here in Hales Corners.
Hanging out with his family. But I mean, even the Bears were even better on third down yesterday, man. Well, I guess you really can't say that because they faced more third downs, but they had 329 total yards to the Cardinals, 257. Again, they just couldn't stop turning the ball over in the red zone. So if they could clean that up, I think they could cover 13 points. They're not beating Green Bay. 13 points in the NFL is a lot, though, especially in a rivalry game. I'm not saying I'm going to bet the Bears. I'm just saying that I can't, like I usually do when these lines come out against the Bears, bet the Packers right now because 13 points. I think that shows that the market is finally catching up with Green Bay and finally giving us some credit. And I think that shows what they think of the Chicago Bears. They think the season's over. What a terrible division. What a beautiful morning to wake up and be leading the NFC North after the Minnesota Vikings lose to the Lions and the Bears wake up as 13-point underdogs in a primetime spot against their rivals. Like, that's terrible. The Giants aren't even 13-point dogs in a rivalry game.
Well, it must be a big draw because I don't know why they didn't flex this one out. They flexed out San Francisco and Seattle for that game last night, even though Denver's terrible.
Why did they do that? Why didn't they give us San Francisco, Seattle? That was a good game too. I had money.
Well,
they don't know that.
I'm not gonna get up in a Saturday night for. They should have gone with Cincy and the Chargers. Is what they should have done.
I know, but that game ended up well.
But
I can't
NBC
call that game
loves divisional games, dude. They love Denver, Kansas City. They love Baltimore, Pittsburgh. They love Packers, Chicago.
Can I say this? Am I the only person that gets like I'm bored of the Chiefs? I know that they're supposed to be this exciting offense, and Mahomes can roll to his left and throw to his right, and he's the 15th quarterback ever to throw behind-the-back passes and no-look passes, but let's make a huge deal because it's Mahomes and market the hell out of him. And he's great. Kelsey's great. Tyreek Hill's a good player, terrible human being. Defensively, they figured it out. I don't know what it is. I don't like the Chiefs. I like Andy Reid. I'm kind of sick of them in primetime. I don't know. They kind of bore me for some reason. Is that just me?
No, I agree 100%. And Patrick Mahomes is my favorite athlete, period. But I'm sick of watching them because their offense is so boring to watch now because they run the same things that don't work. They throw it to Tyreek Hill, who has butterfingers and can't catch a single thing. Then Patrick Mahomes rolls out and does this little sidearm pass to Travis Kelce, and he moves about 2 miles an hour, picks up 2 extra yards. Their defense is terrible. The Broncos were awful last night, so it wasn't even worth watching them. And at least when you turn on a Chiefs game, you think, all right, at least I'm going to see something cool deep down the field. Someone's going to do a cool play. Not this Chiefs team. They're terrible. It is incredibly boring to watch them. I'd rather watch just about any other team right now on TV than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, that's all the defenses just play the Chiefs right now. You know, they take away the deep ball for Tyreek and for Hardman. They'll just play high, you know, they'll play the safeties back there, and they'll allow the Chiefs to do all that like design and bubblegum stuff down the field. And then they just hope when they get into the red zone, they can hold them to 3. Or have the Chiefs turn the ball over on downs. That's all. That's my point, though. That's what I'm saying. You know, Toby, and especially when you play the Broncos, like that's all it is. Oh, they're going to take the deep ball away. So expect big things from Kelce and underneath routes tonight. I don't know. I just get bored. Like I had a lot of fun watching that Bengals Chargers game yesterday. I just wish that Joe Burrow was fully healthy and they gave him an offensive line.
But I'm getting really sick of hearing, all right, they're playing this two deep look and the Kansas City Chiefs can't figure it out. But they're doing that against other teams too, and they've figured it out. I mean, the Packers have had to deal with it because they don't want to get beat over the top, and yet Aaron Rodgers still looks like an MVP-type quarterback. But Patrick Mahomes, for whatever reason at Arrowhead, you put two deep safeties back there and he turns into Jimmy Garoppolo.
Exactly. And I mean, that's all defenses were doing against Aaron Rodgers in the beginning of the season. But the problem is you need the personnel. And like, especially if you're going against the Chiefs, you know what I mean? And the Broncos actually have the personnel, but in the beginning of the year, the Saints played that cover two shell and it looked really good and Green Bay couldn't do anything. So then the next week, the Lions try to do it and Aaron Rodgers just picks them apart. So yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is we're also in week 13, you know, approaching week 14, whatever it is. You think that they would start figuring these things out here soon, but yeah, I'm sick of the Chiefs. A couple years ago, I thought they were exciting. I don't know. I'm more excited to watch the Bills, the Patriots. I like watching the Chargers. I would like watching the Chargers a lot more if anybody but Joe Lombardi was calling the plays. But yesterday, much better performance from him and Justin Herbert. I like the Bengals. I feel like there's just a lot of teams I like to watch, and none of them are ever on primetime. And then, like, we do get the Bengals on a primetime spot once this year, and it's a Thursday night game against the Jags. You know, like, I want more Chargers-Chiefs. Like, hey, there's a good one. Herbert and Mahomes.
Bills play the Buccaneers next weekend.
That's going to be awesome. I forgot about that.
That must be getting protected by CBS because that's a way more attractive game than Bears and Packers.
And that's the, yeah, is that the, that's the Romo Nance game,
yeah,
though.
Nance Romo.
Yeah, the spread's already out for it. Bills are 3.5-point underdogs in that game. I almost bet that one. The Bucks, man, the Bucks are scary. That's still the team in the NFC. I'm glad that you brought that up real quick because watching them yesterday, you know, Brady continues to throw these interceptions, but Brady also continues to throw these touchdown passes, another 4 yesterday. And the last 4 weeks of the season, 5 weeks of the season, like to start the year, he was throwing the deep ball and averaging 9 yards per attempt. And it was like, oh man, Brady's going to be throwing deep balls this year. We're screwed. He doesn't look any older. Then the last couple weeks, he started looking older and went to like 6 yards per attempt and was dinking and dunking again and getting hit way too much. Yesterday, though, all hopes of him like looking old, gone. He was great in the second half of that game. Tampa Bay is going to only get healthier. And like AB and everybody will be back here in a couple weeks, even though he faked the vaccination card. I'm pretty sure that's – he should probably do some jail time for that. Kidding. Brady should do some jail time.
It is a federal crime.
Throw them all in prison until after the Super Bowl,
I'm one of the people that think Brady got off easy for Deflategate. I mean, this guy was deflating football and PSI pressure. The only thing about that Brady situation that I thank my lucky stars for at night is that I didn't have a kid at the time to have him in a world where somebody was taking air out of football. And I only hope that I'm able to hide that from him throughout him time. Because I can't imagine, like, he's going to learn about a lot of awful things that happen in history and a lot of awful things that are happening today. But if I ever have to look him in the eye, explain to him that Tom Brady once had the air a little bit lighter than a normal football, I don't know how. I mean, I'm just going to watch his innocence be stolen from him. And that's just not something that I can handle or I'm prepared for as a father.
I know. I hear that, man. And I mean, especially like you think of it, they probably only beat that Colts team by what? 21 points, 22 points? If that
I believe it was because they beat them by what? 45?
Yeah. They probably only win that game by 2-3 scores.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's anybody like, I don't know. I mean, my hope is that somebody knocks out Tampa Bay before they get to us, before they get to Green Bay. Do you think there's anybody besides the Rams that even has a legit shot? Maybe Arizona? But like, I don't know.
I don't buy into Arizona. I don't know.
I don't want to say that, though, because they seem like that
JJ
team, though,
Watt's
that
tweeting again last night. Maybe we're just effing better. Because
yeah,
they beat the
I mean,
Bears.
I would prefer actually not to see the Cardinals again. I would prefer not to see Tampa Bay. Even though the Rams do scare me, like when they're fully healthy. Like that's what I want to see. I want to deal with like the Rams. I want to deal with, no offense, Toby, the football team. You know, these are the teams that I'm trying to play. The only team I really, really, really think that gives the Packers still nightmare matchups is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll see what Bakhtiari looks like if he's able to come back, because you know, last season, Rodgers was running for his life, and they're already without Elgton Jenkins. And as good as the defense has looked, I mean, they are just stacked with weapons now, man. Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller is still there, and these guys aren't even doing anything yet this season. Those are the guys that will come around come playoff time and kill the Packers. But AB will be coming back. You know, Evans is looking really good. Chris Godwin's looking good and not dropping the ball all over the place. Scariest part has been the run game. Leonard Fournette's putting together his best season since he's been at LSU. You know what I mean? Like, they're barely even using Rojo. So I'm just hoping somebody else can knock out Tampa
Fournette
Bay.
Is like the
not
new
that,
Christian
not
McCaffrey.
Scared. Not that I'm scared.
Dude, Fournette's like the new McCaffrey.
He's awesome, isn't he? Like, he's having a ridiculous season. He's catching balls. He's catching touchdowns. He's rushing for 1,200 yards. He looks really, really good. And that's my point about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man, why you just got to grab these guys when they're out there, because that's what they did. You know, I mean, they just grab AB, they grab Fournette. They got Gio Bernard on that team. We, like, forget about it. I mean, they just grab all these dudes. And why not? Because every week, then you got somebody else that could step up and make a play. And then when we get to the playoffs, it's like, yeah, you can game plan to stop Leonard Fournette. And then that'll be the game where Gio Bernard will have 7 grabs for 153 yards. So that's the team that scares me the most still is Tampa Bay, which I don't think is exactly like breaking news. But every week I kind of just hope that like they'll have one bad week. You know what I mean? Like they'll have a loss to New Orleans and you'll be like, okay, the Bucs can be beat. They lost to the football team. You know, the football team puts together, what, a 14-minute drive in the fourth quarter or whatever it was, Toby, with Heineke. And it's like, why can't we beat this team if the Washington football team can? And the football team played them probably the best other than the Packers in the playoffs last year too. So I don't know. I hope that we match up a little bit better this season.
Yeah, I think you can match up with them, because I think if you're going to get pressure on Tom Brady, it's probably going to come from the interior with Kenny Clark, and that's really what throws Tom off. I think that's kind of why Washington had success, is they got early pressure inside on Tom and hit him, and he's kind of antsy the whole game. And I think the Packers can maybe do that, but you're right. I mean, if you got to choose anybody to play in the NFC, you don't want to face Tom Brady in the playoffs. I don't really care what team he's playing for. And the Buccaneers also, on top of that, have all the weapons on the outside for him. I wouldn't want to face the Bucs.
You know, that is a great point, though. Like, that is the way to get to Brady and to make things uncomfortable. I mean, look what the Giants did with the NASCAR pass rush. But not any, like, look what the Philadelphia Eagles did in that Super Bowl, even though that was a complete shootout. That is the way to beat them. You know, get the pass rush through the interior. And you got Kenny Clark. Dean Lowry is actually performing this year. And this is a different version than we've ever seen of Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary's the only guy that got to Brady last year in either meeting. They didn't sack Brady once. And they take him down. It was the face mask, but it was on Gary. And now he's a much better player, and he's getting the reps out there. You're most likely getting Zadarius back and Jair. So that is a good point. Like, that's the key to that game against Brady, is you wanted it Lambeau in the cold weather, even though it didn't matter last year, and you want to hit him. Because you did see it in the second half, and Brady wasn't even getting hit. Like, when he throws the 3 picks, the weather, the wind, and just Brady being a little bit older and the cold, I think got to him in the second half of that game. You know what I mean? So if you could just hit him a little bit in the first half, you could beat them. But again, we got to get there first. We got to stay healthy. And that's like, that's the problem with this team, you know, is can we just stay healthy to get into the playoffs and then take our shot with these teams? Because I'm sick of losing guys in these meaningless regular season games. Not that they're meaningless, but, you know, we lose Aaron Jones. You lose, everybody pretty much. Elton Jenkins, everybody. I mean, MVS.
MVS.
Alan Lazard. Yeah, well, MVS is back now, but I mean, MVS missed the majority of the season. He was on the IR. Like, literally everybody's been hurt this year. I'm trying to think of somebody. Rodgers missed the game this
Jonathan
year.
Jonathan Garvin's COVID. Back.
Yeah.
People forget. Yeah. Horvat, thank you for your time here on this weird, it's a weird, wacky Monday, you know, around here.
Yeah, I mean, no Packers game. They got the Bears as 13-point favorites. Yeah. Big Monday night game. Go Bills, but go Patriots to cover the spread. And, I'll talk with you again on Friday. We'll do our picks. And I'm going to pick the Packers to beat the Bears. There's a little tease.
You missed it this weekend. It was the Santa parade. There were a bunch of Santas running around town. I was hanging out with Gino. We forgot all about it, and we saw him come by the window. We were just dying.
Oh, Gino, I miss that guy. When I'm back in town in 2 weeks, yeah. I'm going to stop over by his place, grab a bottle of red, and hopefully – bump into Coach Bud there. Really quick before I go, did you see Mark Murphy's comments on the NFL getting into bed with sports betting and why he thinks it's wrong because players are going to be shaving points and coaches and referees are going to be shaving points? Can I just say this really quickly to Mark Murphy? There's not one player in the league who is going to risk millions and billions of dollars in their future so that their boy back home could make $550 on a prop or on a parlay. Or on a bet. I promise you that, okay? Rather than betting on the games and shaving the points, said athlete, especially with everything, with all the endorsement money, like, try to watch a game without Baker Mayfield popping on your TV or Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes. That doesn't happen, okay? Now, I'm not saying it hasn't in the past, especially in the NBA, but football players aren't going to be out there shaving points. You know what happens if you go out there and you half-ass on an NFL field? You get your head knocked
especially
off.
Especially in football. Because me and my family, this is – what we care about. I got to let you go or I will screw up the whole
clock. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
For the day.
I forgot. My bad. Tune into the big show. All the Packers are there. Peace.
Thanks, buddy. Ryan Horvat. We're back tomorrow at 6 on the Fan. Oh,
oh, oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.